Our next alternative strategy that we're going to talk about is a lease option. And we don't include an exhaustive lease option training program as part of the MAPS program. There's many different lease option programs out there, but we want to take a little time to explain how to do these deals. We'll give you some paperwork and contracts that will enable you to do these. And by understanding the mechanics of these, you'll know when they're appropriate and when they're not appropriate. Why would somebody want to do a lease option? Why this alternative? This is appropriate for a seller that is absolutely not willing to leave the loan in place for a buyer. They're not willing to do a wrap or an assignment or an equity holding trust or anything where they're basically leaving the loan in place for a buyer or somebody else to make the loan payments. And maybe it's better when they prefer a rent-to-own over an owner finance scenario. The mechanics of a lease option are as follows. Essentially, what you do is you find a property that is owned by somebody. They may want to sell it. They may just want to lease it. Historically, a lot of people do lease options by simply finding properties listed for rent and then calling up the landlord and saying, I'd like to rent your property. So I'll give you an example by walking through via examples. Somebody in the paper is advertising a property for rent, and the rent is $1,100 a month. So you call up the landlord and you say, hey, I'd like to rent your property. And the guy says, great. And you say, you know, if I were willing to sign a three-year lease, would you consider renting it to me for, I don't know, $1,000 a month instead of $1,100 a month? Well, maybe they will. So they say, okay, sure. Now you've just negotiated a $1,000 a month lease. And then you go on to say, and you know, I'd really love to own a property of my own. If I were able to get financing and qualify for a mortgage, would you be willing to sell me this property at some point? And the landlord, oh yeah, sure, I'll sell you the property. Well, how about selling it to me for $100,000? Okay, fine, we'll sell it to you for $100,000. So you've now just negotiated a lease for $1,000 a month with an option to buy the property at some point in the future, let's say over the next 3 years, for $100,000. What do? You now offer this property for sale on a rent-to-own plan. And this is a real rent-to-own plan. This is not rent-to-own as in it's just to get people to call you so you can own or finance. And this is a real rent-to-own plan. And the way the rent-to-own plan works is you tell the people who respond to your rent-to-own advertising, here are the terms. You're going to give me a down payment of $5,000 to $10,000, and I'm going to rent you this beautiful home for $1,200 a month. And I know that's a little bit above the normal market rates of $1,000 a month, but I'm actually going to credit you $150 a month towards your down payment. So I'm going to save that $150 a month for you, and then when you're ready to actually buy that property, I'm going to give you back that down payment. Those credits of $150 a month, however many months it took you before you're ready to buy, and you can apply that towards your purchase price of $125,000. So lo and behold, the person starts renting the property for $1,200 a month, and you're subleasing it to them for $1,200 a month, sorry, and you're making the lease payments of $1,000 a month, so you're pocketing that $200 a month, and you pocketed that $10,000 they gave you as a down payment. And then eventually, when they qualify for a mortgage and buy the property for $125,000, you buy the property in the morning for $100,000, and then you turn around and you flip it and sell it in the afternoon for $125,000, and you keep that $25,000 back in. Now, when you sell it, you have to give them back what? All those credits that you owe them, that $150 a month that you've been collecting for them. But the cool thing is you only give them credits in the form of a discount against what? Your future profit. So you're just reducing the amount of profit from the amount that you credit them back. If they never qualify for a mortgage and never actually buy the property, you never have to give them all those credits back. You just get to pocket them forever. This is a low-risk strategy. You're not actually doing anything other than subleasing somebody else's property. But a lot of these renters will never become buyers. They will not be able to qualify for mortgages. A lot of these deals will go bad, in which case the tenant will eventually give up. You just keep the money and find another tenant and you sublease it on a rent-to-own program all over again. There are variations of this. You know, you can set the terms of that sublease to whatever the buyer can afford, or you can restructure this in the form of a wrap or a mortgage assignment. This is a popular strategy, especially in today's tough lending environment, but it really doesn't satisfy the needs of people who actually want to buy the property and sell the property versus just leasing and subleasing the property. So let's walk through the lease option in a little more detail. Once again, you find somebody, someone leasing a property or willing to lease a property, and you negotiate the best terms you can for a 3-year lease. And then you negotiate the best terms you can on a 3-year option to buy that property. So congratulations, you've just negotiated a lease with an option to buy. You then advertise that property as a rent-to-own property. And by the way, people love rent-to-own. It sells properties faster and at a higher price. And rent-to-own is going to have a broad appeal because a lot of people believe, everybody believes they can rent-to-own, whereas a lot of people don't believe that they would be able to qualify for an actual owner finance. So the threshold of what people believe they're able to do is going to be much lower for rent-to-own. You're going to get more people that respond to rent-to-own advertising. The terms of the sublease, well, you're going to ask them to give you a down payment in order to reserve the right to buy this property. 3-5% is typical. You can get as much as you can. You're going to rent the property at an inflated rate. It could be the regular rent that you've negotiated to the best terms possible at, and you could put a premium of $200 or $300 on top of it. And then the sales price is set at whatever your underlying price is, plus, again, a premium, maybe 20% premium. You're going to collect that sublease rent while you pay the rent directly to the existing owner, and you're simply waiting around for that tenant to get a loan and actually execute their option to actually buy the property. Eventually, when the tenant gets a loan, you're going to sell the property to the tenant sometime within the 3 years. And you're going to do a simultaneous close. You buy the property in the morning for $100,000, you sell it in the afternoon for $125,000. The short-term benefits are, of course, that you get to pocket that down payment from the tenant. You get to pocket the monthly cash flow, the spread between the sublease payment and the regular rent payment. And then in the long term, you get the back-end payoff, the spread between your option price and the buyer's option price. Some common questions about lease options. The most common one is, you know, if the sub tenant defaults, you know, what do you do? Well, you can evict them and start all over again. Since they don't have title, you don't have to foreclose on them. You can simply evict them. However, you may have to cover the rent during the gap. It may take you a little time to evict them, and you may have to keep making the underlying rent payments until you get them out of there, clean the property up, and rent it out again. And you may have to cover some repairs. If they tear the place up a little bit, you need to fix it up a little bit in order to be able to rent it out again. If the tenant never buys, which is pretty common, you get to keep the cash flow forever. So it's not the end of the world. You get to never have to give those credits back in the form of a discount, and you get to keep the down payment. So it's not that bad a deal. Just exactly like sub-2 wraps, these are some similar tips to make lease options more likely to succeed. I said before that a lot of the times, the majority of the times by historical standards, lease options fail, meaning eventually the tenant doesn't buy, moves out, or sometimes fails to keep making payments and has to be evicted. So a couple of tips to make these deals more successful. You know, don't actually set your option price at an outrageous amount above market value. If the buyer ever expects to be able to actually buy the property, they're going to have to get a loan, and the house is going to have to appraise for whatever you're selling it for. If you sell the house for $125,000 and it's only worth $110,000, then even if the buyer had great credit and a down payment and everything else, they'd never qualify to buy that property because a lender won't lend more than the house is worth. Buyers are not also total idiots. You know, if the house is only worth $110,000 and their option is to buy it at $125,000, they're probably not going to exercise that option and buy it for more than it's actually worth. Do make sure that buyers have skin in the game. You always want to get that buyer to give you a big down payment. The more, the better. It's not just about greed. It's about getting some money in your pocket and getting some skin in the game from them. If they have to be evicted and you have to fix the property up, you need that money in order to cover the rent payments while you evict them and fix the place up so that you can go ahead and rent it out again. Don't make the payment more than they can pay. You know, people will agree to almost anything, you know, but if somebody only makes $2,000 a month and you charge them $1,500 a month rent, you know, even if they say they can make that payment, they're only going to make it for 1 month and then they're going to default on their payment because they simply can't afford that payment. And do consider alternative strategies when they make sense, you know, sub-2 wraps, mortgage assignments, equity holding trusts, etc. These are pretty much the same rules that I gave you to make wraps more successful as well. More of the alternatives for lease options. Well, simply the most clear alternative to a lease option is buying the property subject to and selling on a wraparound mortgage. It accomplishes much of the same thing as a lease option. There's pros and cons when you compare these two strategies. The pros are on a sub-2 wrap, the buyer actually owns the property. It can't come back as easily. It's more likely to stick, if you will. The cons are if the buyer defaults, you have to foreclose on them rather than evict them. In many states, foreclosure is much more difficult than eviction. In some states, it's actually easier to evict, interestingly enough. Now, I've actually never had to foreclose on somebody because if I ever get into a situation where I need to foreclose on somebody, I simply threaten to foreclose on them and I say, look, if you deed the house over to me, in other words, deed the house back to me, that's called a deed in lieu, I will not foreclose on you, not destroy your credit for the next decade, which is going to be a better deal for you. And or consider Phil's rule. You know, if it's a great property, you may want to just keep it as your own rental property and or your own, you know, investment property rather than give it to somebody else. Otherwise, if it's a property that has some equity in it, you might want to just flip it and move on. And or you might want to use a mortgage assignment or an equity holding trust or some other strategy. So I don't use very many lease options, but I like to teach people the mechanics because each of these strategies is good for unique situations.
Lease options, papering up a lease option deal. Step one, you obviously need to sign a lease with the current person who owns it, but you do need to make sure that you write into the lease and notify and disclose to the current owner that you are going to be subleasing this property. Step two, sign a purchase contract or option agreement with the current owner and make sure that that contract is also assignable so that you don't actually have to close on it if you don't want to. And then finally, or not finally, but the next step is, you know, you've got to find a tenant buyer. You've got to find someone who's going to be interested in purchasing the property as well as living there as a tenant until they are able to purchase it. So create and sign a lease with the tenant buyer. Now, write into the provisions that you will rebate the down payment credits if they buy. Now, you don't have to rebate all of them, but it's a good idea to rebate some of them. That'll give them further incentive to pull the trigger and actually exercise their option to purchase the property. Now, next up, create and sign a purchase contract with the buyer. Go ahead and get that out of the way so you guys have an agreed upon purchase price and they know what the terms of that are as soon as they're entering into the arrangement. Now, make sure that all of the agreements and contracts, both the lease agreement and the actual contract itself, have a 3-year term. You want the lease to be a 3-year lease. You want the option to buy to be a 3-year option to buy, and that'll give you, well, really your end buyer, your tenant buyer, the time that they're going to need to work on their credit, to save for, you know, any more down payment, to work on, you know, just getting the house closed and officially put in their name. Now, as always, we want you guys to get out there and review this with an attorney, talk to people in the real estate clubs, make sure it's legal in your state, because some states have followed the lead of Texas and have started to, you know, functionally outlaw lease options, meaning that, you know, you may be able to do them in some states, but you may have to exercise your option in a ridiculously short amount of time. For example, in Texas, it's 180 days, which is not enough time for a tenant buyer to get their credit fixed up and to get going. We're going to take the next slide to talk about a couple more things that you're going to need to know when it comes to papering up a lease option deal. Papering up the deal, lease option style. Let's talk about the earnest money, option money, deposit, rents, etc. Now, earnest money, you know, typically because they're not actually going to be exercising that option right away, typically this is kind of a moot point, so it's not typically applicable, although, you know, you may choose to, you know, collect option money, collect earnest money, collect, you know, a deposit, collect a down payment, get as much money as you possibly can, call it different stuff if you want to, but I'll show you what typically happens with these deals. Option money, typically you're not going to get that. You know, their option is when they're actually in the house, when they're leasing it from you. You know, that's when they're going to figure out, is this the house that I want to buy or not? But you typically don't get an option money deposit from the tenant buyer. Now, you do get a regular deposit just like you would if you were just simply renting the property from a tenant buyer. Now, how much do you get? You know, it's always, you know, good to get as much as you can, but what we typically see is it's about 1 month's rent. In fact, in some states, they may limit you with regards to the down payment so that you can only get about 1 month's rent. So do look out for that too. The monthly rent payments. This is very similar to what we saw with the equity holding trust. You always like to and try and get a little bit more than the average rents in the area. Typically, it's anywhere from $100 to $300. With the addition of the fact that that incremental rent, at least some of it, is split with the tenant buyer once they actually do decide to exercise their option. So if they've been in the property for a year and they've paid an extra, you know, $2,400 in terms of incremental rent in that year above what the average markets are, and you tell them that you're going to split that 50-50 with them and apply it towards their down payment, well, that's, you know, $2,400 that you split in half, so you actually get to help them by applying $1,200 of that incremental rent to their actual down payment, so that when they, or to the sales price, the overall purchase price, you would reduce the overall purchase price by that amount, which is a nice incentive to get someone to execute one of these, because they know if they don't, they're actually leaving some money on the table. Down payment, you know, when they actually go to get this deal wrapped up, you want them to put as much down and have saved as much money as possible. That's going to increase the likelihood that they're actually going to be able to get the loan, which is what we all want in the end. So that's what you see typically when you're papering up a lease option deal.
The truth about lease options. You know, the truth is that you can make money with no money doing lease options. The whole truth, though, is it's never as easy as it sounds on TV. You know, when you're doing a lease option, you're essentially doing a deal with an investor. You know, you're doing a deal with somebody who's got a rental property. By definition, somebody who owns a rental property is an investor. They're a landlord. Landlords are investors. Investors tend to be pretty savvy about negotiating deals. So your opportunity to get a great lease and a great option with an investor is not always that high. And you're selling to renters, and renters are not necessarily the best buyers. Investors can be tough sellers. Renters rarely become buyers. They have a high failure rate. So this can be a fun strategy, but if it's a great property, you might want to just buy it and keep it as your own rental property, otherwise flip it or use one of the other alternative strategies.